of Mert and Marge. During a party at the Pink Angel, Jack Arnold suddenly put his arms around Mert and kissed her. He has since explained why he did. It was to put an end to the gossip about Mert's romance with Ray Hunt, a married man. We don't know how successful the strategy will be, but it has had one definite effect. Just before the matinee the next day, Ray Hunt met Mert on stage and tried to patch things up between them. Mert rebuffed him in no uncertain terms. In just a moment, we'll join our two heroines once again for today's chapter in the story of Mert and Marge. It's the following night. The final curtain has just rung down on the evening performance of Hayfield's Pleasures. Mert stops to talk to Clarence Tiffingtuffer. Let's go backstage with him.
Oh, Clarence, what were you doing up in the second entrance tonight?
Oh, I was watching the butterfly number and conversing with Mr. Hunt, who was also watching the number.
What does that mean, a rehearsal?
No, Mr. Hunt was merely expounding on Marge's talent. He stood with a rapt expression on his usually expressionless puss and said, I quote, "Doesn't Margie look like an angel in this number? Her gorgeous smile, her obvious innocence, and graceful as a bird. That child has a great future, Clarence." Unquote.
Is that what he said?
Yeah, that's what the man said. But I wasn't looking at Marge. I was watching Billy DeVere. The next time Billy is up in the clouds and gets her turkey neck in your way, ring it.
I'm sorry, Clarence, but on our farm we never rung the old bird's neck. Too tough. Get it?
I got it. Well, I'm off to my little nest. So tired. I feel as though I've been doing physical exercises. Heavens, what a thought. I must be getting neurotic. Well, night, Myrtle.
Night, Clarence.
Oh, Myrtle!
I'm up here, Margie.
Oh, Myrtle, you haven't got a date tonight, have you?
Well, yes, Margie, I have. Why, dear?
Oh, nothing very special. I just wanted to be sure you'd go home with me.
Oh, gosh, dear, I'm sorry. I can't. I've got a date with Jack Arnold.
Mr. Arnold? Oh.
Margie Minter, don't tell me you're jealous.
Well, it isn't that.
Well, had Jimmy been bothering you again?
Oh, no. You see, I... Well, that is, we... Oh, Myrtle, you simply have to break that date.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, I can't tell you now. If I do, there won't be any surprise.
Surprise? Say, what is this? Margie, don't tell me you got up a surprise party for me.
Well, it's only I was going to surprise you by making spaghetti with the recipe you taught me.
Oh, you're the sweetest kid, Margie.
I only asked Gwen and Nell. Even if it won't be a surprise, you'll come home, won't you?
Oh, honey, I don't know how to say it, but I just can't go home with you. This date with Jack is business. Honestly, it is.
Myrtle, why did you let Mr. Arnold kiss you at the Pink Angel?
Well, he kissed you too, Margie.
He kissed me on the cheek.
Oh, honey, you mustn't think anything's wrong. I've never lied to you, and I won't start now. I'd tell you why I'm going on this date tonight, but I can't. Won't you try to understand, dear?
I think I do understand. The way you hurried tonight explains everything.
Well, I had to hurry, dear. Jack's waiting for me outside, and it's business.
I see.
Please believe me, dear. Trust me. I won't be too late. Hello, Jack. Here I am.
Hello, Mert. Hey, you're getting to be a quick change artist. Didn't expect to see you for at least another 5 minutes. But where's Margie?
Oh, she's going home and taking Nell and Gwen with her. They're having a little party tonight at the apartment.
Party? For whom?
For me.
For you?
Let's get going and I'll tell you all about it.
All right. Climb into the Royal Barouche and we'll start immediately.
Okay.
Here we are. Where shall Her Royal Highness sup tonight?
Oh, anywhere, Jack. It doesn't matter much tonight.
The automat?
Why not? I can at least watch your hat and coat.
I can bear watching.
Jack, I'm going to exercise my female privilege. The automat's out. Take me where it's gay and giddy.
Gay and giddy, eh? There's Starlight Roof.
The higher, the better.
Okay, to the roof we go. And, Mert, there's something behind this banner. Why not tell me now and get it over with?
it's Margie.
Margie?
She couldn't understand why I'd rather keep this date with you instead of going home to her party. She's really upset, Jack.
Well, didn't you tell her it was a case of life or death?
I didn't tell her anything. I wouldn't lie to her. And if I mentioned Duffy's name, she'd have known Jimmy was mixed up in it. Oh, Jack, if Margie should
don't go getting upset, Myrtle. I know Margie means more to you than anything in the world. That's why you're here now. Later, she'll know it. Then think how happy you'll be.
I hope you're right, Jack. You always are.
Well.
Jack, I know you think I'm as giddy as Gwen Rogers, but I don't want to go to the Starlight Room.
From the heights to the depths. Now I suppose you want to go to some basement frolic, huh?
I want to go home.
Oh, Myrtle, I'll take you home if you like. I'll take you anywhere you'd like to go, but... Now, please, for your own good, you've got to stop worrying. Relax. And remember one thing. Margie loves you, Myrtle. She couldn't be angry with you for 5 minutes. She couldn't be that ungrateful.
Well, as a friend, I know you're right. As a client, I instruct you to take me home.
As your attorney, I obey instructions. But as a friend, I think you ought to be spanked. All right, Arnold. Miss Spear's apartment. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Arnold.
Now, Miss Spear, as your attorney, I demand a full report of your affair with one Harry Duffy on the night he fell on his pretty face with the help of a certain gal I could name.
Ah, oh, gee, you're a swell guy, Jack.
Miss Spear, I am waiting for your report.
This isn't a report. It's an explosion. Well, it's like this. It seems that Spike Duffy of the Windy City Duffys, who were once known to have never lost a customer while they were selling their stuff, the very best stuff back in the old days, is planning to bring his gang here to take over Houston's trade. It's a new racket, that of muscling in on big business having to do with the entertainment world. I gathered he meant cafes and drink emporiums.
Mm-hmm.
According to Harry, the boyfriend, the field is open, seeing that one Bill Houston has retired. If you know what I mean.
Yes, I know exactly what you mean. I helped him retire.
Oh, and another thing, Jack.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Duffy also told me, after the sixth drink, that Houston's black market activities were just a sideline. Well, I didn't think there could be anything worse than that nowadays.
You'd be surprised about what goes on in this big, wide world of ours, Myrtle. And I don't believe you have the least idea how important this information is to me.
Well, I know it's part of your racket, of course, but I thought you took care of that kind of stuff every day. After all, you're the assistant district attorney.
Yes, Myrtle. Rounding up criminals is a part of my daily routine, but, this is different. This job means something to me.
Means something to you, Jack?
Yes, you see, Spike Duffy is the biggest racketeer in the country. But he's too smart to be mixed up in anything himself. When anything goes wrong, somebody else always takes the rap.
Jack, I'm sorry to be just a dumb chick, but I still don't see what you're driving at.
Well, patience is its own reward. Listen. To take over Houston's trade is a big job. So big, in fact, I think Mr. Spike Duffy will handle it himself in person.
Always the darkest before the dawn. I'm beginning to see the light.
Exactly. After all, I'm just a public servant, meaning my chances for promotion lie in how well I please Mr. and Mrs. Public. Now, if I can put the bracelets on Spike Duffy, it might mean...
Promotion for you, Jack?
Well, rather.
Oh, that's wonderful, but...
But what, Marie?
Well, see, Jack, I want to help you as much as I can, but... Well, the real reason I went out with Duffy was because I thought I might be able to help Jimmy for Margie's sake.
Myrtle, let me take you up to the apartment. I want to finish this conversation.
If you left me flat here, I'd never speak to you again. And you've got to set me straight with Margie.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe she'll give us some of her spaghetti.
Okay, let's go.
Good heavens, it's dark in here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe she's gone to bed. Oh, the poor kid. She didn't have the party after all. I wonder where she is.
Well, she isn't here, Myrtle.
Oh, wait. Well, I'll look in the dinette. Margie! Margie! What's that? Jack, she isn't here. What's happened to her? Maybe Jimmy was here and maybe he threatened her.
No. Calm yourself, Myrtle. Maybe she hasn't gotten home yet. Oh, hey, look. What's that on the table there?
Oh, it's a note. Oh, it's for Margie, all right. Oh, Jack.
Well, what is it, Myrtle? Anything serious?
Oh, you won't think so, but listen. Dear Myrtle, Gwen and Nell and I decided not to have the party without you, so we're having one of our own. Don't wait up for me, as Gwen says we may be very late.
P.S., Myrtle, I'm so excited. This is my first blind date.
Jack Arnold is very thankful for the information that Mert gathered from Harry Duffy. If Jack Arnold can round up Spike Duffy, it might mean a promotion for him. Could be that of district attorney. Of course, Mert's only thought had been to try to help Jimmy for Margie's sake. Mert is very worried about Margie. Margie has gone out on a first blind date. Be sure to listen to the next thrilling episode in the story of Mert and Marge. This is Andre Baruch speaking.